Lobstergate, which is a phrase of my own coining, which I'm now slightly regretting, has happened in the last, well, it's sort of hit the media, I suppose, in the last 48 hours. How did it start? Noel Edmonds and his wife came into the shop, and they're very supportive of me, very supportive of the shop, nice people. And they came in, and at the time there were two lobsters left in the tank, which they bought. With the intention, and they told me so, with the intention of releasing those. So I showed them what to do, how to do it, advised them on where to do it, and that's absolutely fine. That's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's a nice thing to do. No problem at all. Noel then posted a video of that, and received, to me personally, quite a lot of what I thought was incorrect, unfactual, and unnecessary comment, some of which was a little bit hateful, a little bit vitriolic, but I'm sure people are used to that when they're in the public eye. So I went on and did a video because two things. Number one, I wanted to show a bit of support, and number two, to just sort of set the record straight on some fact in terms of where lobsters come from, how they are caught, how they are kept. This is not a pet shop tank with lobsters in it. These things are very expensive. They're about sort of £8,000 to buy this sort of tank, and they're designed specifically for keeping lobsters, and they're considerably more humane and kept than a lot of the practices certainly abroad, and a lot of the practices that supply restaurants and things like that out of very similar sized lobster pots in the sea that would contain infinitely more lobsters in them, in not as nice as environment. So yeah, I was just trying to sort of set some facts and set the record straight.
Right, and from that, how has it exploded or blown up?
It's gone absolutely mental. That's, again, probably my fault with Lobstergate. There's been a lot of press attention. There's been a lot of public attention. Some negative, but I would say actually broadly positive, because what I sought to do was shift the dial a little bit, which I hope that we've achieved in some measure, away from sort of vitriolic hatred and that sort of thing, into let's use this as an opportunity to tell people firstly where their food comes from, and also give people a better understanding of how it gets from sea to plate, from field to plate, that sort of stuff. Because I think that education piece for people is very important when they're picking food. But I do understand, I understand cost of living, and I understand people are, I'm trying to think of the right word, people are a little bit reticent. They like to keep their heads in the sand a little bit about, you know, how a piece of beef is grown, is created, how it goes from being a cow in a field to a wrapped steak in a supermarket or on a shelf in a shop or in our butchery counter. I think is, some people don't really like that, but I think it's useful to understand a bit of it, because I think it's useful to understand where your meat is coming from. And on the island here, on the Isle of Man, we have some of the best beef, some of the best lamb, some of the best shellfish and seafood in the world. And I think it's important where you can afford, where you can taste the difference. I think it is important to buy local. And I think it's nice for you to understand where that has come from and how it's come from. And we are a small island, you know, our farms are not the sort that you have in America, mass producing tens of thousands of items. You know, these are small farms, these are small fisheries, these are small fishermen, you know, often they're one-man bands. And they're producing things in very small quantities, but with an enormous amount of care and love and animal husbandry. And yes, you pay a little bit more for that. And I understand that's difficult for people, but you also get a much better quality of product. You get a much better taste as well. So it's a double-edged sword.
Coming back to Lobstergate, what is the future of the sale of lobsters at the shop, if you can tell me?
Well, it's a good question, and I'm still mulling it over because we're still getting a lot of attention and we're still getting a lot of comments. You know, people have suggested I do a poll. There's been all sorts of ideas. We've moved the tank. Tank's still in the shop, and there are still currently five lobsters in the tank, and they're actually very happy and quite healthy. We actually checked them this morning. So we've still got five left. We've moved the tank so it's a bit further away from the front door, just so it doesn't offend people that are sort of sensitive to that sort of thing, because I get that and I understand that. We will definitely still sell cooked, dressed lobster, and we will definitely still support that fisherman and that family in doing so. So a lot of people have said this is going to hurt him, it's going to hurt his family. I've spoken to him at length, and I won't draw him into it because it wouldn't be fair, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's going to affect his livelihood. We'll still continue to sell. The question mark is over whether we continue to sell them live or not. There's not been a massive demand for it, but then we are now in lobster season, we are about to sort of hit lobster festival and things like that, so maybe there will be a market, and as a commercial operation I have to consider that. So it's thinking about how do we do this. A lot of people have said, look, you know, why don't you put the tank in a back room and put a sign up, and then people can ask, and you know, we can take them and think and pick which lobster they want and things like that. I think that kind of defeats the object a little bit. I don't really want things to be hidden away and sort of secret, even with a sign. I think if we're going to do it, we do it, not as in your face, in terms of its location in the shop, but I think if we're going to do it, we stick to our guns, and we, you know, we tell people these are humane, they're well caught, they're well looked after, they're graded, they're sized, they're parasite free, etc., etc. And what people buy them for, that is entirely up to them. That's the customer's choice, and we will help and advise them on whatever it is, and how to dispatch them or how to release them or whatever it is they want to do. So I'm still mulling it over. I haven't made a final decision yet. I'm still listening to the feedback that we're getting, but the overwhelming, certainly to the comments I've had and people that have been coming in the shop as a result of the wake of this, have been, you know, stick to your guns and, you know, keep selling it and keep promoting Manx, which is what we want to do. That's the whole reason I set up this business. It's just how we do it and how we be sensitive to a group of people, and I'm not going to call them a small group of people. They're not a minority. There are a lot of people out there that feel this way. So we have to take that into account.
I think my last question, and it's you can tell me if you want to add to it. Going back to, you know, local producers, it's kind of a circle. You're helping a local, let's call him a local fisherman. You're helping the local fisherman. You're bringing it into your store, and local businesses, probably local restaurants, are there, you know, coming to you and buying that lobster, and you know, it's a cycle.
Yeah, I think it's right, and I think you're especially this time of year, you're hearing a lot of MHKs and a lot of potential MHKs talking about the money going back into the economy, and every pound spent is worth, I think off the top of my head, about sort of £1.80. So, you know, it focuses people back onto the quality of Manx produce, the quality of Manx lobster. And we do, the purpose of the shop is to support local producers. You know, we do a huge amount with Ballacosnahan Farm. That's Jenny and Rawdon, I think everybody knows, on the island. And they farm and maintain this rare breed of Lockton sheep. And they do that because they produce the most epic award-winning deli meats and things like that out of them. And that's the point I think I made in my video and some of the interviews we've done, is that, you know, if people didn't eat these, if there wasn't a demand for them because it wasn't so good, then these breeds would die out. And you have to remember, lobsters are farmed from the sea for food, and whilst they are now in the modern day and age a delicacy, they weren't sort of 200 years ago. These things were, you know, incredibly cheap. They were, you know, they were a cheap food in the same way that, you know, vegetables and things like that now are, and they're very good. The quality of our seafood here is fantastic. So I think we have to differentiate, as I've said, between a product that is farmed for food and an animal that is not. And I've said it before, I think there's two completely different conversations, and the other side I'm just not going to get drawn on because I don't have enough information, I don't have enough knowledge about it, but we are not talking about endangered species when it comes to lobsters. We probably are with some of the rare breeds, like the Locktons and some of the cattle stock that we've got, but you know, we're not talking about, you know, penguins and pandas. And people have been laughing and joking because I said I'm going to replace the tank with biscuits, and people have said online that, you know, what's he going to put a load of penguins up there? And yeah, no, we're not, because firstly, they're not Manx. we might do biscuits, but
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.